Beyond the Dark on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.
Ladies and gentlemen, Beyond the Dark is one of the most interesting features that we have. Everybody loves it, and we're going to enhance it tonight by talking to Dr. Bob Curran, who's got a book called The World's Creepiest Places. And the picture on the cover of the book is enough to make you draw your curtains and curl up in bed with the covers over your head. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Pete. How are you?
I'm very well. Tell us, first of all, who is Bob Curran?
I have written a whole number of books. I'm actually a lecturer. I teach both history and psychology, but I've written a number of books. A lot of stuff. I think I've written, I've lost count, but roughly about 40 books in English. And they're all on things like history, folklore, stuff like vampires, zombies, The Walking Dead, stuff like that.
And what made you get interested in that?
Well, you see, Pete, I was born, if you could see me, you could, you would know from the grey in my beard that that was not yesterday. I was born in a remote area of Northern Ireland, County Down, and people there believed in fairies and things at the time I was growing up, and ghosts and stuff like that. So I suppose I grew up in the middle of that context and became very interested in how people interpreted the world. And as a psychologist, I began to look at how we frame up our own reality for ourselves and how we make interpretations of the world around us. That sounds very academic, Pete. Basically, I just like a good scare.
Bob, where did you come up with the idea of writing a book about the world's creepiest places?
Well, it's published by a new page in America, and I have done a number of books for them. And they came back to me and they said, if you were writing a sort of creepy travel guide, what would you write about?
Oh, wow.
And I said, well, I have a number of ideas. So they said, okay, go ahead and write about them. So what you're holding in your hand, Pete, is the result of my labors and the result of what I chose. I could have chosen an awful lot more.
Is there anywhere that you personally would not go? Is there a place that you wouldn't go?
I think there are a number of places where people shouldn't go. There are places which are creepy for one person and perhaps not for another. Mm-hmm. For instance, in the book I write about a place called Leap Castle in County Offaly. I had to get Ireland in somewhere. And I will go cheerfully into Leap Castle, but my wife will not cross the threshold of it because she gets a sensation of it. So for her, Leap Castle is a place where she will not go. Other places I have been and I have got a really creepy feeling about it. Now, in the book, Pete, I haven't been to every location. I've been to some of them. But I've also spoken to people, and they say, you know, Bob, you shouldn't go there. It's very, very creepy indeed. So I take their word for it, but I genuinely believe that there are places which you really shouldn't go, and humans are not really meant to go.
I'm talking to Dr. Bob Curran, who has written a book called The World's Creepiest Places. What's your belief as somebody that's involved in this sort of thing? What's your belief in the afterlife?
Well, my own personal belief, people say, do you believe in the afterlife or is there an afterlife or something like that? And or do ghosts exist or whatever? And I turn around and I will throw the question back at them, Pete, and say, do you believe that there's an afterlife and that ghosts exist? And they say, yeah, okay. And I say, well, then they do, because they do for you. That's the way they interpret. My own view is that the jury's still out. There might be an afterlife, there might be not. There might be ghosts, there might be not. you have to weigh up all the evidence. There are things, there are places that I have been that I have felt a shiver down my spine. There are places that I have been and people say, oh, these are tremendously haunted and we have seen things. In fact, I have stood beside a radio presenter who has seen things and I saw nothing.
Right.
So it worked for him. It didn't work for me. But that doesn't mean to say that his experience was superstitious or whatever, and that mine was okay. Because it's all how you construct your own reality, Pete, and how you make sense of the world and the cosmos and the universe all around you.
Do you believe, as you live in Ireland, do you believe there are countries that are more haunted than others?
Depends on your own belief. I mean, Ireland is supposed to be very, very mystical. And I will say, Pete, that Ireland is a very, very beautiful country and has a sort of ethereal quality about it at times, and people pick up on that. And there are other places. I mean, for instance, I've traveled in Romania, and it's very spooky, the places I have been to, although Romania is also a very beautiful country. But there are some places which lend themselves. And once again, it's how you respond to it. And here I'm talking as a psychologist. You're going around, you say, this place is creepy, this is Dracula country, this is a Spookveld in South Africa, so there must be ghosts here, and you begin to interpret the world and your feelings and this creepiness in that way. That's what I'm talking about in the introduction to the book, What Makes a Place Creepy. Once again, it's, as I say, if the place you think is full of ghosts or creepy or whatever, then it will be full of ghosts and creepy and whatever. It's your response to it. There are places I have been which are supposed to be haunted. They are not. I have been, as I say in the start of the book, to Belsen. And I found Belsen, the concentration camp, very creepy, but possibly for a different reason than supernatural, because of all the associations I have with it. And perhaps that's the key. All the associations you make with a place may give you a feeling of creepiness or a feeling of supernatural or a feeling of tremendous beauty.
Bob, as a psychologist, is it a state of mind? Can we induce fear into people?
I think to some extent, Pete, you probably can. But you need to do it within a certain context. You need to have, you see, it's all the associations you make with something. If you're standing in on a beach on a lovely day and people are leaping about in the sea and building sandcastles and things like that and having ice cream around you, it's very difficult to induce that sort of thing. It's very difficult to say, you know, you should be very creepy. But if you're in a dark room or even around a campfire on a dark night, and there are all sorts of unexplained noises and there are all sorts of unexplained shadows coming and going, then it possibly is much easier to create that state of mind and make the person receptive to what you're saying. We always talk about telling ghosts in a spooky old house or round a campfire late at night. And those are the good things. Mind you, and a good writer or a good storyteller can sometimes induce a series, a sort of fear in an out-of-the-way place, you know, in a busy street or something like that. But it is much more difficult.
Bob, looking back at your book now, you've written it, which, in your opinion, appears to be the creepiest place?
Oh, Pete, that's like trying to ask a man to choose which of his children he likes the most. I found the ones which fascinate me because I've actually been there is not about ghosts, but it's on a lonely Scottish island, and there's nothing there except a lighthouse. Now, in the 1900s, three keepers vanished without explanation. Nobody knows what happened to them. It could have been a natural disaster, but it may not have. They may have crossed from one reality into another. And I will tell you this, Pete. Although there's nothing on the island except the lighthouse, and it's a flat island, you get the sense of another country. This is in the west of Scotland, and the locals in Lewis, the nearest island, still call it the other country. And at night, late in the evening, you can see things coming and going. But that's only one of the places, and in the Alien Moor in the Flannan Isles. But there are plenty of others which can send a shiver up your spine.
Bob, did you have problems leaving stuff out of this book? 'Cause you're
I had tremendous problems, Pete. I could have filled another book. The publisher turned around and said, look, we only need so many. And he gave me a word count. And I exceeded that. And I talked very nicely to the person who was doing the layouts of the book. And she said, look, I'll put everything in. So a lot of the stuff that's in it I have written.
Tell me about the Tomb of the Squire, because I'm interested
in
that.
Oh, Richard Cabell.
Yeah.
Richard Cabell is a tremendous figure. I take it you have read Sherlock Holmes, The Hound
of the
Baskervilles.
Yeah, most definitely.
Well, Richard Cabell was the prototype for Hugo Baskerville. Conan Doyle had been around Buckfastley, out on Dartmoor, had been up at Cabell's tomb. Cabell is supposed to have had a great hound, and he was an evil squire. He was from the 1600s, and he is supposed to have had a local woman as his wife, whom he was very bad to, but who managed to escape, and he hunted her down. And was allegedly torn to pieces by the devil. Now, Conan Doyle picked up on that story, and the gentleman who showed him round Dartmoor had a coachman whose name was Harry Baskerville. And he became Sir Henry Baskerville in the story. And Conan Doyle took the story and developed it into the Sherlock Holmes story. Now, the Tomb of Cabell is still there. And if you go up and walk around it and put your fingers through the grill, the squire will bite the tips of them off if you want. So if you want to lose your fingers, then Buckfastley is the place to go.
Wow. This sounds like the type of book you should put on in the dark with just one light on, some candles burning and some very quiet music playing in the background.
Pete, I would have the one flickering candle and sit with that gleaming over your shoulder. And dear knows what's moving in the darkness beyond it.
Bob, you must have had so much fun putting this book together.
It was terrific, Pete. It was a labour of love. And we're talking maybe about another book at some point, because there's so much out there and so many great stories that we can't fit them all in.
Before we finish, I've got to ask about the ancient castle of Leap.
Oh, Leap Castle. Leap Castle is one of my favourite places. There's still a guy who lives there, Sean Ryan. But it's in ruins, and he's doing it up from time to time. And up at the top, it's an old English tower house. The main body is an old English tower house. But up at the top of that, there's a place known as the Bloody Chapel, where One-eyed Tig O'Carroll, who was one of the lords of the area in the 1500s, cut his brother's throat across the altar rail, and his phantom ghost is supposed to haunt that as a sort of a vampire. And each night, Pete, there is a light appears in the top of the tower between the hours of 12 and 1. And the people see it across the countryside. And a number of years ago, RTE wanted some fool to go up into the tower and have a look between the hours of 12 and 1. And they chose me. And I went up. And I leave you to guess what I found. I think there's a mention of it in the book.
Bob, the book's called The World's Creepiest Place. What do you want people to take from this book? When they put it down, what do you want them to say?
I want them to think, because part of all of my books is a sort of conversation. All right, I tell a story, but part of it is a conversation, as any good book, I hope, should be, with your readership. You say, here's a few ideas I have. What do you think of them, or what do you make of them? I mean, I ask a number of questions. I mean, let's say, is a place haunted, or is it ourselves who make... if ghosts don't exist, do we create them for ourselves? Where does our notion of reality begin? And another reality begin? Or how do we make our own environment or our own world? How do we interpret what we see around us? And I'm using these to talk about that. And people can turn to me and say, Bob, you've got it wrong. And I wish they would, because then we can have a talk about it and say what we've got it wrong. But I want people to think about creepy places. But I also want people to sit down, read through it, and enjoy it with their candle beside them and the shadows going around them. I can't think of anything better.
Dr. Bob Curran, the book is called The World's Creepiest Place. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Pete.
Liverpool's biggest after-hours talk show, Late Night City, with Pete Price on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.